Last week in Shul, after Shabbos was over, we had our annual or our weekly learning program, Shanta Vanacha, learning parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. And one of the parents was learning with their children for this upcoming week's Parsha of Tetzaveh. And they were learning about the Big Day Kahuna, which is a major theme, a major part of this week's Parsha. All about the various clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore, that the Kohen Hedyot, regular Kohen wore. And as they were going through, they were looking at one of the picture books that beautifully showcases and describes exactly how each of the begadim looked, like the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Gadol, where there were eight vestments, eight articles of clothing, and four for Kohen Hedyot, for regular Kohen. So this child asked the question, why is it that the clothing of a regular Kohen is all in white, while when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, at least in terms of what people saw, the outer garment of the Kohen Gadol was of tcheles, was of blue, which in fact is the case. The me'il, which was the outer garment that was worn over on top of the ketones. That me'il was of all blue, of tcheles, and even over the me'il was the ephod was some sort of kind of apron. That's where the choshen, the breastplate, was attached to the ephod, and that was not exclusively blue. There are other colors as well, but blue was mixed in as well. And therefore, when someone would see the Kohen Gadol, you primarily, in addition to the different jewels, that the Kohen Gadol wore on the breastplate and on the shoulders, you primarily saw the color of blue, tcheles. But when it comes to a Kohen Hedyot, you primarily saw the color of white, of lavan. What's the difference between the two? So I'd like to suggest perhaps the following. So the simple answer to that question, the one I initially told the child, is that we generally assume, and we know this from historical records, that this color of tcheles was was rare. It was hard to get a hold of in ancient times. In fact, that we know from modern times, with all the research that has been done regarding the tcheles, that's a part of the tzitzis, right? The strands of the tzitzis, where the Torah requires a psil tcheles. So one of the strands has to be blue. We know for many, many, many generations, we lost the tradition of where that blue came from, or where its source was, from the Schilah zone. And again, it's unclear exactly what it was and where to find it. But in recent times, the last 100+ years, there's been different approaches, different opinions, and today there's a whole industry, there's a company that produces the tchelas, from this type of snail. That is found along the Mediterranean basin in Israel, and I think they end up at school. They initially found it off of Croatia, that part of the Mediterranean. And many people today assume, again, I don't have time to go through all the proofs right now, and all the sources, but assume that it is accurate, that we have indeed found the real source of the tchelis, and there are many people who are now wearing it. In fact, you can visit the factory where they actually produce this tcheles nowadays. It's at right outside Male Adumim in Israel. It's not like going to the Ford Rouge factory, which is this massive, plant over many acres, this huge plant where they make the Ford F-150 pickup trucks here in Detroit. The plant where they make this, I took our family, we were in Israel, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 summers ago. It's basically, it's a caravan. It's a tiny little shack where all this tcheles is produced and sold now all over Israel and outside of Israel. But it's very interesting to how they demonstrate how it's made and produced and the snail, where that it comes from. Any event, it was kind of rare in the ancient world, and it was and therefore it was expensive, and most people who had access to it were more wealthy individuals, and it was therefore the dye or the color of royalty. Royalty. We know in the and we're going to read the Megillah Esther in about another 5, 6 weeks. actually in 4 weeks. Tonight is a Purim Katan tonight, so a month from tonight. We know at the beginning of the Megillah, right, when Achashverosh has his major party, we're describing the various like curtains that were there, the different blankets, and it's made of parpas, tchelas. Like tchelas is one of the colors of that was found within the royal household. In addition, some suggest, like, right, look at Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev, when Rashi describes what was the Tonis Pasim, the coat of we say many colors that Yosef wore, that Yaakov gave to Yosef. There also Rashi invokes that pasuk in Esther of Tcheles, Karpasu Tcheles. So again, that Yosef, in the sense of Yosef being ultimately becoming the Melech, becoming the king, the viceroy, the head of the family. So again, you see that the color blue is this color of royalty, and therefore what follows is that of the Kohanim, the head Kohen is the Kohen Gadol. And since he is the one in that dignified position, it only would make sense that his garments would be of this royal nature, and therefore that's why perhaps it was the color of blue. So that, I think, is a very basic answer. What I'd like to suggest now is a very fascinating insight that Rabbi Soloveitchik, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, gave many years ago, when he spoke about the distinction between blue and white. And he spoke about not in the context of the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, but rather of the tzitzis. Right? The tzitzis is primarily the strings are white, but there's this blue string. It's actually a very interesting machlokas that he invoked, what the Gemara says, can you have one without the other? Now, clearly, we Paskin like the opinion, which is the opinion of the Rabbanan, the rabbis, that you can have one without the other, and that's how Jews for centuries wore tzitzis without the blue, without the tcheles. Because if you can't do that, if you can't wear one without the other, then ostensibly we were, for hundreds of years, Jews were violating a major prohibition of wearing four-cornered garments without proper tzitzis. You can't do that. So we, of course, follow the opinion of the Rabbanan that you can't have one without the other. But what's interesting is that the opinion of Rehudi HaNasi, which he invoked, which he emphasized, Rehudi HaNasi was of the opinion that you can't have one without the other, that both are critical. Both are necessary. And if I'm not mistaken, I was listening to a presentation by Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik that he gave a number of years ago on behalf of the Tehillah organization, where he said that in his family, they actually did not wear tzitzis on Shabbos. They actually took off tzitzis right before Shabbos because if in fact they didn't have the blue, only had the, of course, we only had the white color, the white. We didn't have the blue dye. And if in fact you it might be a problem chutzav carrying on Shabbos if you're not really supposed to be wearing it, or if you're just wearing it for the sake of the mitzvah, you're not wearing it because you really need it as a baguette. Well, again, they had this stringency of it might be issue of carrying on Shabbos. Be it as it may, again, we follow the opinion of the Rabbanan that you can't have one without the other. Or Soloveitchik, again, going with his approach of Rehudi HaNasi, the famed Rebbe, the redactor of the Mishnah, he suggested the following idea. He said that, what do these two colors represent? So he said that as Jews, we live on two levels. We primarily we're rational human beings, and primarily we engage life using our intellect. That's the Rambam emphasizes this to such a great degree when it comes to deos of getting trying to understand Hashem and appreciate Hashem, using the human human mind, and that's how we generally conduct ourselves. There's right and wrong. There's clarity. There's understanding. But in addition to that, there's also the mysteries of life. There are the things beyond our understanding. There's the leap of faith that that we take, and that leap of faith, or Soloveitchik suggested, is symbolized by the tchelas. by this blue, because the Medrash, it's a well-known Medrash Chazal, the rabbis tell us that when you look at the blue of the strings of the tzitzis, that what that's supposed to remind you of, those remind you of the yam, of the water. And then you see the water, it's supposed to remind you of the rakia, of the heavens. And also, when you look at the heavens and the sky, it's supposed to remind you of the kisi hakavod, of God's heavenly throne. And Soloveitchik homiletically suggested, that the water that is so deep, and it's so beyond our grasp of what's hidden, beneath the surface. We cannot see, we cannot comprehend. And what's up in the heavens? So, like, we're only beginning to discover what's up in the heavens. Just a few moments ago, saw on the news that NASA was able to land a new I don't know, rover or something on the moon. But like, the universe is so vast and so beyond our comprehension how big it is. It represents the things that are beyond our human understanding. And ultimately God himself, as we know, we can't obviously completely understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the two combined, the lavan and the tchelas, the blue and the white, are reflective of how we relate to so many different things in this world, things that we don't understand and the things that are beyond our comprehension. And he said even further, the blue, for us Jews is the notion of the miraculous, of the lamala menatava, of beyond nature. And as Jews, again, we function in these two realms. We deal with the day to day. We deal with the we live life based upon how we understand the world, how we recognize how things operate. But we also want to understand that there's certain things, there's certain nisachos, there's certain miracles that are constantly happening, that God is allowing us to function, to exist, the world to continue in a way that's beyond our understanding. And when it comes to our service of Hashem, so we do our best to understand. We do our best to make sense of things, and we use our intellect to be able to relate to the world. But we also have the humility that certain things are beyond our understanding, and there's certain things that don't necessarily make sense to us. And he, I think he invoked the idea of chukim, of certain statutes, certain laws that are incumbent upon us, that are things that we can't comprehend, we can't understand, but we do it because it's what God tells us to do. And again, it's this constant balance between these two ideas, but this is together, it's the totality of how of our interactions with Hashem, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so again, and that's the blue and the white together. And that's why perhaps the whole mitzvah of the tzitzit says, so you should look at the tzitzit. It's called mitzvah, so Hashem, remember all the mitzvahs, the totality of the mitzvahs, both the mitzvahs of the mishpatim, the laws that we understand, and also the chukim, the ones that are beyond our comprehension. But we do both of them. And specifically when it comes to the blue, this follows the tchelas, you can't always follow your heart and follow your eyes. Right? There's some things that you're not going to understand. There's some things that you're not going to comprehend. And yet you still have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you serve Hashem, then it says, V'yisem kedoshim v'lekechem, then you'll be holy to Hashem in both of these realms. So that's how we understood the mitzvah of tzitzit. So if that's the case, and again, I don't think you took it this far, but I just want to suggest that perhaps when it comes to the big day kahuna, so the Kohen Hedyot who wore all white, that was the day-to-day operations of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim, they brought their korbanos. Someone sinned, so they had to bring a sin offering. The Kohen would help out if a person was rescued from something, so then he would help out, with a korban toda, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a peace offering, a shlomim. The Kohanim, represented this idea of there was a logic, there was an order, Things made sense. They follow the certain rules, and this is how things operate. The coin gadol, though, perhaps on the other hand, was symbolic of a world that was beyond our comprehension, and perhaps like the entire Beis Hamikdash on some level was l'mala min hateva. Of course, there were certain miracles that our rabbis say took place in the Beis Hamikdash, of fire ascending from heaven. The Ner Tamid, the one candle that was constantly burning, the lechem aponim, the bread that stayed fresh the entire week. So on some level, the entire operation of the Beis Hamikdash was beyond our rational understanding. And also, just in terms of our whole relationship with Hashem, the Kohen Gadol perhaps are representing this idea for the Jewish people. That there are parts of our interactions with God that's based upon faith. It's based upon this leap of faith of our embracing Hashem, even when Hashem is, again, we don't always recognize and understand and comprehend God's ways. And so perhaps that's the different the duality or these different representations of the between the Kohen Gadol and the regular Kohen. And what's interesting is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur at that point wore all whites, right? Why did the Kohen Gadol wear all white? Because on Yom Kippur, everything was emes, everything was truth on Yom Kippur. There was no hiding. There was a recognition of sin, of chet, and there was, and if you really wanted a kapara atonement. So what was required was, the Rambam says, a genuine teshuva, right? It was genuine teshuva, and so the whiteness and the freshness of Yom Kippur represented that we needed to have that clarity, and we needed to have that honesty with ourselves and to admit to Hashem where we had veered off, and only then we would be afforded atonement, afforded kapara. I just want to end with something that I thought was fascinating that Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, or Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, added in his presentation. So again, using this idea of the difference between blue and white, of white being clarity, white being the intellect, white being I think he invoked the idea of Soloveitchik's famous idea of Adam 1, Adam 2, of Adam HaRishon, his description. There's a very different description of Adam. In Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis to Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, Adam is this he's this inventor. Adam is full of confidence. Adam is the one who's supposed to conquer the world. Adam feels he uses his intellect to partner with Hashem in creating the world, developing the world. Then you have Adam in the second chapter of Sefer Bereishis. And he's much more, he's afraid, he's scared, he's in this very lonely existence, and Hashem has to watch over him. Hashem has to protect him. It's this existence of lack of clarity. It's the existence of being dependent upon God, of being meek and weak on some levels, and having to turn to Hashem for direction and for guidance and for protection, and using that idea again, the blue and the white, the white being the first Adam, the Perek Aleph Adam, the Adam of being the creator of rational, of thinking, of science, of innovation, and then the blue of having to recognize that, take a step back, and to recognize that ultimately there's things that are beyond our comprehension, and that we're vulnerable. We live in a very vulnerable place. Ultimately, there's Hashem watching over us. So he used that very powerfully, and I think it relates so nicely to what's going on right now, to Israel and the Israeli flag. That the Israeli flag, of course, is blue and white, and Israel, is symbolic of both of those ideas. On the one hand, the white is the kibbutz stick. It's the one draining the swamps. It's the Israeli who's the stronger warrior. And the Israeli, who's the startup nation, and the innovator, and the scientist, and the person doing incredible things, using their innovation and creativity, intellect. And at the same time, the blue represents the miracle of Israel, the fact that how has Israel hasn't been able to exist for the past 75 years surrounded by enemies time and again, tragically, and in our days in recent months, all that's unfolded, and yet the ability for us somehow to continue to survive, to continue to thrive, that that we're a people that's that works hard and puts in all our effort, but we're a people that's also lamalam minatava. We're beyond nature, and Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik in his essay again also spoke about Israel in this context, and he said he quoted some like senator in the 1970s and U.S. senator who once had a conversation with Menachem Begin and told Menachem Begin, "Don't speak to me on your terms. Speak to me in a language that I can understand. Because I don't understand. You Jews, you rely on miracles, but we in America, we can't operate that way. We got to deal with facts and with numbers and with budgets and with military strategy. But you Jews, your line of thinking, the way you operate, is not something that we can comprehend. And that's our secret. Our secret is it's the kachol v'lavon, it's the blue and white together." That we are Adam one, and we do put in the effort, and we're charged, and the white is more than the blue, both in the Big Day Kahuna, and also in the Tzitzis, right? The white is the one that's most apparent, and that's how we're generally supposed to operate. But with humility, we understand that there's Hashem above us. There are things that are beyond our control, and ultimately Hashem is in charge. And I was just thinking, perhaps that's why Yosef's coat was of blue, right? If indeed, right, as Rashi says, the coat of many colors was predominantly of this tchelis, of this blue, because the whole story of Yosef makes no sense. Right? The whole story of Yosef of rising to prominence in Egypt and rescuing the family, taking care of the family, and the whole story of the Jewish people is something that's beyond logic and reason. Guiding us through history, and that's the tchelis. That's the tchelis, the blue of the string, the tzitzis that reminds us of that, and that's the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, who's the ultimate Jew and the ultimate one who connects us, the Jewish people, to Hashem through his avoda, symbolizes this outworldly connection, this divine connection that we have with Hashem. Hashem being Lamala, being above us, and living through a history that defies logic and that defies the normal rules of how other nations operate. It's this balance that we constantly are navigating. It's hard for us to do our part and to put in the effort and to be innovative, to be creative, but it's always recognizing that Hashem is above us. That Hashem is leading us in a certain direction. We remain devoted to Hashem, even when we face such pain and hardship. We still are stubborn in our connection to Hashem and our faith to Hashem, our devotion to Hashem. And it's that this journey together, both the blue and the white, ultimately will lead us in the path that will ultimately bring about a redemption. And allow us to fulfill the role Hashem asked for us as a Jewish people in this world. Hope everyone has a wonderful Shabbos.